When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome to the show. It is our biggest win. I'm Ken. That fabulous angel of a human being is Robbie. Robbie, we addressed this on the Patreon pre-roll. That's right. If you support me at patreon.com/KenAbstock, you get this show not only special access to it, you get special content, additional minutes of the show where we talked about a lot of things this week, from real world, the importance of the show real world, to surprise farts coming from your stomach. So, Robbie, we hit it all. How are you doing today? You look wonderful.
I feel like we've done God's work in the pre-roll.
Dare I say, the Lord's work.
I'm hanging in.
You also got a new set.
I do, yes.
That's what I was saying. On the pre-roll, we addressed it, but what do you got going on?
I've got my fabulous library, and I've got my Nightwing shrine, and I've got my Transformers, and there's my hair back there on a thing, and then I've got a Madonna poster up.
Madonna.
And I have a new mic that's all pretty.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, the bleep mic is transitioned out. And now you got this one here.
Yes.
This is amazing. The hair's looking good. You said off air that the hair looks wiggy. I wish I could wear a wig, but
the hair is a little big today.
It's big. It's not quite designing women big, but it's big.
No, I'm definitely giving some Suzanne Sugarbaker vibes. So.
And shout out to all the Delta Burke fans in the world today. This is the show where Robbie and I, with life the way life can be, not only on a national and worldwide level with the news, but also on an individual level in our own lives, it can be a struggle. So we like to dig into what we've gone through over the last month or so and find a win. And often it's what we did this week, but we're going to get to it. I do want to ask before we get to it, though, Robbie, you got your little library back there. Yes. Is Madonna's sex book on the shelf at all?
It is, actually.
Yes, it is.
That came out in October of 1992. It was my 14th birthday because
sophomore in high school.
This is going to sound, I was a freshman and, my parents got it for me for my birthday because I was a big Madonna fan.
Really?
I don't think they realize.
Really? What a book called Sex by Madonna is?
Well, because, it was like erotica was on the radio and she'd already done Justify My Love. And they're like, oh, she's just being,
she's Madonna.
Right.
Kudos.
There are some things in that book, though, that they opened my eyes. Mm.
I think that's the case for a lot of folks. I never owned it. And controversial. I mean, you and I were talking in the pre-roll about sometimes time moves on and this isn't a generational make fun of the younger generations. You just don't know because you weren't around and you can read it as a Wikipedia entry or a website or something or talk about it in terms of nostalgia. But if you're not there, you don't realize the full impact. We're talking about Pedro Zamora, real world, Puck, all that stuff. But the Madonna sex book was as if Satan was coming to take over the world in my church.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was like, bar the doors, close the windows, hammer them shut. Madonna's
it's interesting. Sex book. The last time we did this, I had talked about going to the concert. And that whole era is heavily referenced in her new show.
Yeah, really.
And I think because, 30 years later, 30-something years later, we're starting to realize that, what a different place we're. I'm not that that would have been appropriate for a 14-year-old because I have no judgment here, but you see things now, and there are still some things in that book that are provocative, but we realize we've had, and no offense to any of these girls, but we've had, Kardashians in videos. We've had Paris Hilton in a video. We've had, and I'm not shaming any of them.
No,
because, everybody do their thing. But I don't think anybody remembers just how vilified Madonna was for that book.
It was her.
And then, just for having the audacity to like.
To do it.
Do what all the guys were doing.
Yes, 100%. It's like her and, you know, Sinead O'Connor ripping up the picture of the Pope and, you know, look at that tragedy that unfolds over the course of her lifetime, but also someone who owned who she was and was right. Yeah, the Madonna thing, yeah, vilified across so many different spots in pop culture. I didn't own the book, but I did see it. My friend, I won't say his name just in case for whatever reason. But he'd be probably proud of this. He was dating this girl and, you know, he's my age, but it was, you know, we were sheltered nerdy kids. So it was pretty big that he had a girlfriend. They might actually kiss and maybe hand jobs. We don't know.
Right.
But I went off to the mall with him in Santa Maria. We went to a Walden Books and he was able to get a copy, purchase the book because they wanted to look at it together. I guess to hold hands why they did it. I didn't pay attention. We were in the car. He had a 86 Ford Ranger truck. We were in the car. We were just kind of looking at it. That's my exposure to it. But I thought looking at it was sin. I'm sinning.
Oh, yeah.
In the eyes of my parents here looking at this book.
Oh, I openly admit there were things in it. I was like, what? How? What?
Well, because, you know, it was some
art. It wasn't until I was like 25 and I was like, oh, that's what page 23 was. Cool, I get it.
I have to go back and look at all these pages. Yeah, well, because there was a little bit of a, not disappointment, but a letdown because, you know, we were giggling and the titillation was high. And some of it's, you know, I'll say artistic, high arts, little concept stuff, maybe some subcultures we weren't too familiar with as two white straight dudes in the suburbs in the 90s. Yeah. So we were a little like, I don't know. Oh, okay. You know, I don't know what we were expecting. Just a penthouse or something. I don't know. But kudos to Madonna for the sex book. What does she say about it at the show?
Oh, she's very Madonna about it. Like, you know, like she made a joke when she was in San Francisco about how that whole era, like she really found out, you know, who her fans were and, you know, a lot of people that came out as a result of that book. Mm-hmm. And then she said, you're welcome.
That's good. That's Madonna. Yeah.
That's Madonna.
Yeah. This is why I'm certainly not invested in Madonna as you are. But she's of that. I'm of that era. She's of that era. So I find myself somewhat protective of her nowadays in a weird way. And I'm not here to defend anything she's done or anything, blah, 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 blah. I because of what we're talking about, where I'm like, you know, you can make the wrong choices and lose your way and lose your luster. I get all that. But sometimes I sense Madonna is treated as a little bit of a punchline by some people, especially on like TikTok or something. And I'm like, you all don't know nothing about what she did. Perhaps even for you. She was one of the people that was like a wedge getting through a defense at a time where it could have cost her dearly.
Well, I don't know. I look at some of the people now and I'm like, okay, like I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go on a Taylor Swift rant because, you know, my arch nemesis, Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. You're not too Swifty. You got it.
Not Beyonce. I love Beyonce. I need pop stars today to stand for something. I don't feel like any of them do anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I think Gaga does. She just had she did the Dylan Mulvaney
poke. But even Gaga's considered an old lady now.
Yeah, I know. And it's frustrating. That's frustrating to me too. And I, you know, cuz number one, I'm like 10 years older than her, so she ain't old to me. But yes, it's like it's passé. It's not cool. And I get it. That's what happens. She was new on the scene. And Madonna even then was not new on the scene. Totally get that.
Right.
But I understand what you're saying about standing for something and doing it a little more easier and naturally. As much as I do, I like Taylor Swift in a lot of ways. I don't give or take most of her music. I like some of her songs. But even some of the stuff she's come out and done or said, it took a while to get there, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
And I know people are like, well, but what about the whole thing about her taking ownership of her career and re-recording her music? And well, that's great, but like her dad made a shitty deal. That doesn't affect, I mean.
Yeah. I get you.
You know.
I get no T-Swift hate for me, but I get you.
I know we're going to get demonetized because she owns everything.
We're okay. You know.
Sorry for drinking on air, guys. I'm dry like a Kardashian.
Chloe, Kim, Courtney. That's how, you know, it's funny, my age group, I don't even kind of, is it the newer generation, and they're like mothers, and they've, is it Kylie and Kendall?
See? Jenner, yes.
Yeah, Jenner, right. Yeah, but they're of the team. I still view them as like the annoying, like, 10-year-olds in season one of Keeping Up the Kardashians. I'm like, what happened? What happened to them?
I have never seen an episode.
I can never lie. I watched the first two seasons religiously.
I've never watched that. I have never watched a Real Housewife of anywhere.
That I really haven't seen.
I betrayed my people because all the little young gaylets, as I call them, are like, what do you mean you've never watched a Real Housewife? I'm like, because I don't care about them.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I was there for the Osbournes. I was there for the early, even Hogan's Knows Best and all that stuff. And big fan of Survivor, all that stuff. You know, I contributed a little bit to the downfall of society with my love of quote-unquote reality
shows.
We
talked about the Real World. And my thing is, okay, between that and Madonna's Truth or Dare, reality been there, done that.
Been there, done that.
Everything else is just a rehash.
Yeah, I agree with that. But part of the show is catching up, talking about Madonna. Excuse me. And hoping Robbie doesn't hack up a lung on air, but cough away. You don't worry about
it. Of course, I go all day without talking, and I'm perfectly fine. And now that I'm talking to you, I'm like, let's just die. Let's just fart and choke to death on camera.
Again, Patreon pre-roll. You all need to catch that. It was great. I was dying laughing. We'd like to come in. I've been extra short of breath lately. I gotta learn to get my breath like a singer. I don't know. Sometimes I go through this where I don't feel like I'm getting the air that I need. I got to learn how to do that. Like, you know, if you ever watch watch Gaga sing A Million Reasons at Super Bowl, when she did Super Bowl halftime, she's taking those big breaths. I need to get that down for podcasting. Anyways, the point of the show is we also share our biggest wins. This could be over the last month. This could be over the last week. And, you know, we've go through a lot of things. You've got some health stuff that came up. I'm curious about your biggest win, so I'm going to let you go first.
I don't want to get too deep on everybody, considering I've been making fun of everything for the last 26 minutes.
Deep. Yeah.
First of all, I'd like us to do a spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
Of this hugely successful show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to call it, well, that didn't suck as much as it could have,
okay.
Which I think would be a wonderful companion piece to this.
Yeah.
And instead of the pink bricks, it'll be blue, like the bad genie. No, I've decided that where I've been since the last we spoke, was that deciding, because I had mentioned to you privately that, you know, February wasn't a great month.
Yeah.
I'm still sort of dealing with all my health stuff and whatnot. And
you feel as though you went and saw the Madonna concert and maybe paid a price physically.
Oh, I definitely went into that zone of like, you know, because I get a little bit paranoid and superstitious about, you know, that kind of, because just my history. Do I really believe in any of that? I don't know. But sometimes it helps you get it out of your system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But since I got back from that trip, it's just been kind of one thing after another, and nothing that's like, you know, completely wiped me out.
Mm-hmm.
But just enough for me to finally realize that it is okay. And stop me if I've said this before, because I really feel like I'm talking to all of you out there. Sometimes it's okay to say, you know what? I'm not okay.
Yeah, 100%.
That's my win. That's my win.
Okay.
I'm kind of sick of camouflaging everything with a joke or with a You know, like I don't like, here's the deal. If you don't see me posting in the Discord or on Facebook or on Twitter, if you don't see me, that means I'm probably laying in bed going, yeah, I kind of hate everything right now. Because what I don't want to do, and this is a conscious effort, is I don't ever want to spread what I call the, you know, the disease of terror to other people. Because I think that's too many people do that. Too many people just assault everybody with all of their BS.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
And I'm not saying don't talk to your friends. Don't talk about things. Don't talk to your loved ones. I'm going to cough again.
That's great.
Oh,
remind I'm yawning me again. Super, I don't know what's going on with me. So
I can't. If I were a professional, I would actually read the instructions on how to mute the mic. So I'm not like choking.
I was going to say we could, or, you know, let me know. I'll mute your mic. Next time. I can mute your mic from here. I don't mind it, but because you're being honest. You know,
I'm coughing up a demon.
Yeah.
But what I was saying was that I found myself kind of in a mode where I was just bitching about everything. Now, granted, we all have reasons that are perfectly valid why we can complain and carry on a piss and moan about, like today it's really cold outside and it's snowing. I'm angry about that.
Really beautiful day over here.
I make jokes about having issues with my ostomy, but sometimes I hate it. Sometimes I hate that. Yeah. Like I'm so preoccupied with, you know, making a weird sound or it feeling weird or waking up in the middle of the night because because when they do that, sometimes they can cross wire the nerves.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, like, you know, my left tit will start stinging. Oh. Has nothing to do with that. But all of a sudden it's like, ow.
Yeah.
You know, and that wakes you up. And I think we all, I mean, yes, I'm talking about health stuff. I'm just talking about the everyday, like, you know, it's been winter. It's been kind of dark and gray. Life isn't, you know, sometimes you just don't want to be perky. And I've learned to be okay with that. And I was having a conversation. I've been talking a lot about, you know, spirituality lately.
Okay.
But I had little Robbie pop up on my shoulder for a bit.
Oh.
And
for the audio listeners, it's pretty much, is that not a Funko Pop of you? But
no, it's one of those chibi, like, we'll get into that in a second. But I found one and I was like, you know, if I paint his little outfit.
That's a Robbie.
That heifers me. So all the way down to the, and if you look really closely, there's a hole in his stomach. Anyhow.
Yes.
No, yes. The whole point is that giving in to, sometimes you just got to give in to the feeling miserable. Don't swim in it.
Yeah.
Don't stay in it. Don't, and also don't take other people down with you.
There's an emotional honesty to it. There is, I totally know what you say, where it's like, we all can, you know, feel like we're the center of the story. It's our movie. Yeah. And so if things are going wrong, I do that all the time. Sometimes I have to remind myself, ask that person across from you how they're doing. Like start with that maybe even. And I don't hold it against anyone, but it rubs me the wrong way. I don't like it on social media where I've got some folks, even folks that I used to work with and stuff that are just like, It's just one of those things of you're just going on whatever your social media of choice is just to just bitch about things, the trivial things. Right. I don't care. Deal with it. And I don't mean to be mean about that. But at the same time, I also want people to be honest. And that that's the effect.
It's a delicate balance. And I think that I've always said you have to take the good with the bad.
Take the good, you take the bad, the facts of life.
Season one theme song was the best. But you deep cut. But yeah, that's, you know,
I love it. I love where you're at with that. And I always, sometimes I've talked about when you're like, if you're battling depression, or there's just over, like some days you just gotta be depressed. Yeah. And hopefully the impulse control is in check. Hopefully you have the support systems around you. If you don't, God bless you. We're not all privileged like that. I get it. But yeah, you just got to keep one foot on the ground. But it's okay, man, to spend 4 hours in the bath. Or, for you know, for me, I could do it too much. But it's like, all right, I'm swinging through Del Taco. Like, I'm doing something that gives me some sense of joy and acknowledging.
And it's perfectly okay to tell people, listen, I'm not on top of my game today. Yeah. And it's also okay to say, and I don't want to talk about it.
But yeah, like, yeah.
Please don't worry about me. Like, if I need to talk, I know you're there for me.
Yeah, that's the key too, of knowing, hey, you don't worry, I got this. Right. I got this.
I mean, I'm saying don't you know, throw people overboard with you, but also don't acknowledge that people care about you. They're, again, delicate balance.
Delicate balance, multiple truths. But yeah, no, because there's so much of what you're going through, and for those who are just maybe checking in, the list of medical maladies is long with you. I get it, and I think there's got to be some fake it till you make it energy going on with you, and that's exhausting. Exhausting. And so sometimes it's just nice for you to be like, guess what? I'm exhausted.
Right. The reason why I guess I'm telling people to like be conscious of that.
Mm-hmm.
And being conscious of just maybe sort of maybe you need to stew in your own juices.
Yeah, yeah.
Is because I found myself snapping at well-intended people.
Mm.
And that's so not who I am or who I want to be.
Yeah, yeah.
But you, and we talked about this months ago when people, you know, do the, you know, they, well, thank God you're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I had another occasion of that. And I completely came, I was like, really? Really? I'm not okay with that. That's like everything fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And they were just like, whoa. And I was like, you know.
And you're
I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm feeling very volcanic right now because I'm sick of everyone saying thank God for something. Because I'm not thanking anybody right now.
Yeah.
And you know. And then I realized I was like, oh, I need to I definitely need to like meditate on this.
Yeah.
Because
and then the pizza delivery, you know, we've guy all done walked that. Away slowly. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Sir, this is an Arby's. Yeah. I know I feel it. Yeah, yeah. And that's why, you know, it's sometimes the other side of it is you don't know what to say.
Right.
Yeah, that's all you can do is, you know, I try not to offer platitudes. I just try to say, hey, whatever you need. But I like where you're at with that, though. I like where you're at. The Robbie Smith I'm exhausted playbook. Exhausted physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, any way you want to look at it.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, how about you? So that's my big spiel.
Yeah. You know what? Here's I came out of, what I would describe as, a bit of a mental breakdown over the last couple of months. And I, you know, been sharing that and been on the live stream. And you saw it the last time we recorded. Like, I kind of lost it after we recorded. I just not feeling good about things. Things are better. And a lot of it was from the support of listeners and longtime listeners and friends and family. And got a lot of support that humbled me, which was part of what I was talking about on the live stream that I kind of lost it on. But things are better. But it's still by the skin of my teeth. I'm trying to get through some stuff. And I haven't been depressed. But you ever get into... if you look, I just got a shave and a haircut. Like, I'm trimmed down. The beard's trimmed down, and I can do it by myself. And I think I have, maybe 2 months ago I did. But I had not gotten my hair cut, whatever's left of it. I had not gotten my hair cut. I had not gotten my beard taken care of. It was getting old and gray and bushy. And today, some of that was money. Like, you know, sometimes the $20 to cut your hair, it ain't happening because that needs to go to food or something. And I finally was like, okay, yeah, I can go get a haircut. But I put that off for about 2 weeks. And I don't know if you feel it's not. I don't think it's in the ballpark of what you're talking about. But it wasn't stewing in the juices or acknowledging depression. It was actually not acknowledging any kind of depression or malaise. Where I was like, yeah, I don't want to be an active member of society. I don't want to clean up. And, you know, big bushy beard doesn't mean you're out of society. But you know what I mean? We're like, nah, I kind of I feel like this unruly beard. I feel like this hair that I don't care about. I just don't care about myself right now. And that's not what you're talking about of let me admit something. It's just like it's a self-destructive, self-loathing thing. So today, woke up early and went and got the haircut. Went and, you know, Grace and I are going to go to dinner. That's part of my win, too. We set some time aside. We're both in just thick of it the last couple months. Let's go get some. We're going to go to our favorite restaurant and get some dinner. Let's kind of be humans. And I think I've been not knowing that I needed that because it's so easy that, I you know, the bushy beard takes over the hair. I'm sweatpants today. There's some days I don't wear jeans, you know, like for weeks. And I'm blessed to work at home for most of the time. But you can lose yourself in that. And it's unlike what you're saying is an admission. I'm not dealing with it.
But I think that I counter, not to interrupt you, but I counter what you're saying and also offer that while it might not be an admission, it might be a denial of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, it led you where it needed to, which was for you to wake up one day and go,
yeah,
okay, I'm done with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a little bit of the same energy. It's a connective energy to what you're talking about, I think. I think they're different. Yeah. Different, maybe
it's
sides
coming
of the
from
corner.
Two different ways.
Two different ways.
Coming from two different ways, but
different sides of the pillow. But of that's even what I've said over the years of just acknowledging depression. Like today is a depressive day means, and then you're not going to do anything about it. Like that's what I'm talking about on your side of like, no, this is where I'm at, and I'm not going to go for a walk to feel better. I'm not going to eat right to get help. I'm not going to work out to get my endorphins going. No, I'm going to be fucking depressed today. And then eventually, hopefully, again, impulse control, those things, the dangers of it. But you're like, cool, I'm done with that. And I think, I agree with you on that point. It was like
I call it the house shoe dilemma.
House shoe dilemma.
Yeah. Which is, okay, if I have to go out to a doctor's appointment or if I have to go out and do anything, am I actually putting on my real shoes?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I just wearing my house shoes because I don't give a shit? Now, comment below if you know what the hell I'm talking about, because I think I don't care if it's house shoes, it's pajama pants, it's, you know, girl, I'm not wearing underwear today, whatever, you know, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You just mentioned like, you're actually going to wear real clothes to dinner tonight.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's so funny. I was going to the haircut today. This is how connect. This is amazing. You said that. I had this thought today. I was going to get the haircut today, and I'm at my little side street, pulling onto a major street in Burbank. And there's a donut shop I go to every now and then. It's kind of a famous donut shop, 24 hours in Burbank. And so it's about 7:30 in the morning, or whatever. And there was a couple, older couple, and I want to make clear I'm not shaming anyone's size, but they were both bigger and bigger. In an unnatural way for their bodies, I would say, because they had some canes going, but they weren't like, this wasn't 70 plus. They might have been 58. And the guy had a big, speaking of bushy beards, but he just had a big Santa Claus white beard, kind of long, greasy hair, but he probably hadn't washed it. And she was in sweatpants and she had goddamn slippers on and in socks. And I just was in awe of them in a weird way. Like I'm not here to make fun of them. They were like getting donuts. They're not going for a healthy shake or a low protein, blah, blah, blah. They're like fucking donuts today, honey. Let's do it.
For the grace of God, go I.
Grace of God, go I. And I was staring at her slippers, Robbie, swear to God, saying, that's the choice. Do you leave the house with slippers or not? And so we all have to make that choice.
Yeah.
And she owned it.
And sometimes you do. Sometimes you're like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
The world doesn't deserve me to do my hair.
Yeah.
Or for me to, you know, even bother, you know, wearing a shirt that I, you know, hasn't been laundered in 6 months. I just don't care.
I just don't care. And that's why, you know, my tendency maybe even as a comic is to, especially back in the day as a comic, would be to make fun of them, right? And again, I'm saying things that I was commenting in my brain on their weight, their cane, they didn't look able-bodied. You know, they're just in the sense of just like, what were they doing? How did they get to this point in life? I was getting – the comic in me can get a little bitter. I've tried to put that aside to find what is the positive in this situation.
Right.
Who are they? I don't know their story. Maybe this is their first time out in a while because she's had some medical problems. Maybe this is all they can afford. He can't take her to fancy breakfast. And I was trying to find, and that's, I found their biggest win was owning who they are.
That voice of, you know what? I hear you, sister.
Yeah.
It does make you.
Yeah.
There's nothing like relatability to make you empathetic towards people. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
No.
There's a whole. I see the world in a whole different way than I used to.
I bet.
You know? And you know what? And we should.
Yes, that's the thing. And it's hard. I've tried to talk about it on stage as a comic. We're so often trained that comedy comes from, you know, not even punching down or up, but just like a negative space about what am I angry about? We all get angry, and I get angry about things too, without a doubt. But can't we find the humor in celebrating things is the challenge I'm sometimes wondering. And if there's anger, I want it to be at me. And I want it to be at me bucking against the positive things in life. Like this is a good thing I should enjoy, but I'm not adapting to it, or I'm being stubborn, I'm being grumpy, and that's the comedy. 10 years ago, I would have made fun of these people. Now I want to try to celebrate them. Yeah. And that's the wins. It's their win. It's our win. Good wins. We had some good wins today, Rob, including a good conversation about Madonna's sex book.
That's right. I have an addendum
to that.
An addendum.
Okay.
No, it's more of a public apology. Mm. So a couple of days ago, or probably a week ago, I was making fun of, in a post that I put up, of a situation, because we all know that Kate Middleton went missing, quote unquote.
All right.
So I had posted a picture of, it was a total Photoshop picture of her and me and the Hamburglar at McDonald's. And it was more of a commentary of the,
yeah,
I don't understand why people are freaking out because nothing online is real.
Yeah.
And I don't feel guilty because I wasn't necessarily making fun of her.
Mm-hmm. You're making fun of the situation.
I do feel guilty that, and I don't feel guilty for thinking that maybe the institution involved needs to, I don't know, get their S together.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah, no, that's
but
a good conversation.
I do, where we've come to, that we're so toxic and so, you know, things have to be salacious and we're so hungry for drama that someone who's younger than I am,
She's 42.
That has three children.
Mm-hmm.
Has to come out and talk about a health condition, cancer.
Yeah.
That maybe she wasn't ready to talk about.
Yeah.
Now, did the people she worked with help the situation?
Yes.
Not for me to decide. I'm going to say no, they didn't.
Oh, I guess I did.
But I think there's something about, you know, it made me pause earlier because it made me sad.
It is. Yeah. No. So I'm releasing this episode on Saturday, but we recorded this on Friday when Alden and I were doing Anytime that news kind of broke in the middle of it. They put it in our chat and we just saw the name. Someone put in the chat Kate Middleton. So Alden and I probably started talking about it. But then we're like, hey, we better check the story, as we did. And we saw what it was. What I was trying to say when I said yes was like, I think that the not just the royal family, but the entire team mishandled it. And I'm not saying they should have announced, oh, we think she has cancer. I'm just like, it got weird. Let's just be honest. It got weird. Like we're analyzing
really
photos.
Sloppy. For people that should know better.
Sloppy. Like this is the royal family. They're usually better burying their skeletons.
But then as somebody who had, you know, four different abdominal surgeries and lost a shit ton of weight and almost died three times. I can understand the, you know, why she disappeared for so long.
Yeah.
Hell, I disappeared for half a year because I looked like hell.
I wasn't even sure where you were for 4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and don't beat yourself up, but that's what I'm kind of talking about. I've had some conversations about Kate. Even when I got my haircut, the lady in front of me, the guy I go get my haircut from, I'm like his youngest client. Everyone else is a blue hair, 75-year-old woman or above. It's hilarious. So I had to wait for a while, and I heard them talking, and they were talking about, and they weren't being mean. By the way, they weren't being mean, but there's just a sense of ownership, and I get it. And I'm not here to defend the monarchy, but that's a different conversation. But we have this ownership. I had this come up when I was defending. Sorry to bring up again, Taylor Swift, when her team threatened legal action against that kid on Twitter who was tracking her jet in real time. And I'm like, look, your point about the environment and private jets and billionaires is taken. And I admitted to not caring when Elon Musk was being tracked or Bill Gates, but Taylor opened up an idea. Like, it's dangerous. You don't know who's out there. She is being targeted by the right, and we have seen people on the right just in their dumb comments on CNN or whatever ignite a firestorm of violence in the heart of their followers. Someone could track her to – I don't care what security team she has. They could get her. And exactly. I had some people who were like, I don't care. She's a billionaire. She could die for all I care. And we have this weird sense of detachment and from their humanity – and some have a possession over them and their humanity. And I think this will be the Kate situation. So my barber this morning, he was coming and he was like, what do you think? And I was like, this is today, 8 a.m., the day we found out. I said, I think it's probably something personal and bad. And I just don't have a theory, man. And he was like, I think it was a tummy tuck. And I was like, okay, but, and now look, I want to go get my hair trimmed tomorrow and be like, now what do you think? Right. Do you have any, because why couldn't you all figure that out, you know?
Right.
But I'm with you. The situation is, it's fodder for late night television. I'm sure Leno, if he was still on the air, he'd be doing joke after joke. I don't know what anyone else did. But exactly. You could just, sorry, you actually got me started on something, because like, you could see this coming from a mile away. You could see it coming from a mile away. It was secret for a reason.
Yeah.
Secret for a reason.
Yeah.
And maybe he's cheating on her, and maybe who knows? But this makes more
all
sense.
All of these things could be true. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
This is why.
But guess what?
Yeah.
I'm not sleeping with him, so I don't care.
I don't care.
That's not, for her to figure out.
Yeah, I am not. This is why I am always, I'm up for listening to your conspiracy theories. It's a fascinating subculture. But at the end of the day, I feel conspiracy theory thinking is dangerous because now we have legislation being proposed in Tennessee that's based on chemtrails because they think chemtrail stuff is real. Right. And sorry, it ain't. There's a lot of research on why it isn't true. But we reached out. We got the lieutenant governor in North Carolina running for governor, and he's a Holocaust denier who believes lizard people, which is a very anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, exists. And so that's why I just even to my barber, it was like the conspiracy theories often hide and detach us from the truth, and the truth is something bad's probably going on. I don't want to say I'm right because it's tragic to say I was right. But
it's the same shit, different day. Because you know, when we were growing up, it was the National Enquirer.
Yeah,
and today it's TMZ. I mean, it's the same.
Yeah,
paparazzi is just a different,
thing
now.
Paparazzi. I love it. Thanks. Sorry for that rant.
Well, me too. I didn't mean to bring it up at the end and like bring everybody down.
I wish her well. I wish her well. I don't have to love the monarchy. I don't have to care. I don't, I wish she was just Kate from Essex, wherever the hell she's from, and didn't have to deal with the people following her. But I wish her well. She's a mother of three. Right. She's a mother of three who did not have any choice to be born into the family. So, Robbie, We've done it. We got back on the horse. That's another win for us. You and I, and I know you're used to getting up on horses, but here we are. We're back. We did it.
His name was Jeffrey.
You just didn't know his last name, and that's fair. And that's okay.
Okay, you don't need to say it like that, Ken.
thanks for listening. If you're watching on YouTube, give us a like, give us a comment. We love doing this show. Next month is my birthday month, so we'll do a special one there.
Yes.
It'll be a lot of fun. It will be cool. That's it. We'll get out of here. I don't have anything else. We don't need anything else. That's what we do. Bye, everybody. Goodbye.